Good evening. I won't replicate everything that Pastor Reed already said about tonight, except to point out that if you flip on the back of your bulletin, you'll see at the top, it mentions that over 100 different people were involved in the creation of this particular night. And I just want to give praise to God for that. This is truly the church at work, desiring to bring glory to his name. And so with that in mind, as we proceed with our service this evening, you'll see that a lot of the interior of your bulletin, the service itself, is devoted to scripture reading and also to music. So with that in mind, I'm going to be brief in my message, but I want to devote my time to one question, and that is, why have a night like this? Why devote an entire evening to worship through the arts? It's an important question. And I'd like to suggest three reasons for you, three brief reasons that the Bible gives. The first is that beauty is an attribute of God. Beauty is an attribute of God. In fact, God's beauty is a key aspect of his glory. When we think about glorifying God and praising him for his glory, we often think of that in terms of his holiness, his moral perfection. And certainly that's a key part of it. But the Bible also makes it clear that one reason that God is glorious is because of his beauty. So let me just give you two passages. Psalm 96, verses 4 through 6 says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." And then Zechariah 9, 16 and 17 says this, "For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty." But not only is God beautiful, but also he is the most beautiful person or thing in the entire universe. Ezekiel 1 says this very clearly. And in this book, Ezekiel is given this vision of what God is like, just a glimpse of what God is like. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 says this, "And above the expanse over their heads, there was a likeness of a throne." This is God's throne. "In appearance was like sapphire. Seated above the likeness of a throne was the likeness of a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And there was brightness about him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking." That's a glimpse, just a tiny glimpse of what our God is really like. And Ezekiel's using the most beautiful objects he is aware of to convey this to his hearers. Another glimpse of the God's beauty is found in Revelation chapter 4. Verses 2 through 3 say this, "At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow, an appearance of an emerald. And before the throne was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal." I think what we're supposed to do is close our eyes when we read this passage and imagine what such beauty would be like. Absolutely amazing. So yes, God is holy and God is powerful, but yes, just as much yes, God is beautiful. He is the most beautiful thing or being in the entire universe. And so God is so beautiful. We see even in scriptures that holy men and women longed just to be in the presence of this beauty of the Lord. Psalm 27 is a famous one. It says, "One thing I've asked of the Lord, and I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And here's the key part, "to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." That's a valid expression of our love for God, to long to see him. That's exactly what Moses longed for when he said that he longed to see God's face. And it's one reason we have to look forward to heaven. And I think for this reason, that when we see a beautiful sunset or a gorgeous landscape, we can be led to worship because we see beauty in it, and it points us to the beauty of our Creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19 says, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. But lest you think that physical beauty is all that matters to the Christian, it's not. And the second reason why I might say it's important for us as a Christian or as Christians to have a night like this is because we have an even more complete and full understanding of what true beauty is. So yes, the Bible describes God as beautiful, but the Bible also calls many other things beautiful that have nothing to do with physical appearance. For example, the Bible says, "How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news." So obviously that's not talking about someone's gorgeous feet, right? It's saying that rather the message of salvation is what's beautiful. It's what is wonderful. And in the New Testament, when a woman anointed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume, there were some around her who thought it was wasteful. But Jesus rebuked them, saying, "She has done a beautiful thing for me." So physical beauty isn't the only thing that makes something beautiful. And this also applies to Jesus. When we think about who Jesus is, there are songs that call him, quote, beautiful Savior. But I don't think the reason we worship Jesus is because we consider him to be the most handsome man in the universe. In fact, the scripture tells us quite the opposite. Isaiah 63 says, "For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground, and he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him." So contrary to all the Sunday school illustrations that you see, Jesus wasn't the most handsome looking man on the face of the universe. He wasn't the most muscular man on the face of the universe. No, in fact, the Bible says right here, he probably looked quite ordinary. So why do we paint pictures of Jesus then? If he wasn't the most beautiful person in the world, why paint a picture? Why do a drawing? Why devote any kind of artwork to him? It's because we recognize that the beauty of Jesus, the significance of his life, was the truth that he taught, the salvation that he brought us, the divinity that he possessed, the victory that he accomplished. That is what makes Jesus beautiful. And that is why so many artists devote their talents to him. And the third and final reason that it's worthwhile to have a night like this is because the Bible makes it clear that God gave certain people artistic talents for the sole purpose of glorifying him. We could, of course, make the case that since the Bible says we're made in the image of God in Genesis 1:27, that one way we reflect this image is by creating, since he is our creator, and Pastor Reed already alluded to that, and many commentaries point to that as well. But even beyond this, the Bible says that there are certain people that God has specifically given artistic gifts and talents, and in each case, it's clear that they were given for the purpose of worship. So consider a man named Bezalel, who you may or may not have heard of before, but he's mentioned by name in the scriptures. He created many of the beautiful furnishings of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And the Bible says of him in Exodus 35, starting in verse 30, "Then Moses said to the people of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, and for work in every skilled craft.'" But it isn't just to men that God gave these gifts. For the same chapter of Exodus says in verse 25, "And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twisted linen, and all the women whose hearts stirred them to use their gifts, their skill upon to spun the goat's hair. And this was all to make the curtains for the tabernacle." And finally, consider David, who wrote many of the Psalms, which, depending on the chapter, were either poems or literal songs. He was a harpist. He was a composer. God gave him skill, and that skill was given for the purpose of worshiping God. And so, just like these individuals, I believe that there are many people, even in our own congregation, who have these artistic gifts as well. So what are we to do with them? We're to glorify our God. And so with that in mind, we dedicate tonight to giving praise to our Savior and to those who are gathered here, and more importantly, to our Lord Jesus Christ. We present Worship Through the Arts, a celebration of the life of Jesus.